Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Thank you very much. We are extremely blessed and enriched to have Wes and Sharon here. Okay, let's get ready tonight. We are in the midst of looking at an event that every one of us will be there. You will be here at this event. And there are just certain things that we know are going to happen. And one is death, two is the eternal life and the resurrection. Well, this is another one. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And now before we do that, let's talk about prayer. We need to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to battle the cancer, and she has her good days and bad days, and so we need to be in prayer for her and for the treatment that she's doing, and we need to be in prayer for Nathan. We need to be in prayer for Amber. We need to be in prayer for all of our young people, really, and need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker as she continues to battle through the recovery of her fractured hip. And need to be in prayer for Mickey Bell, one of our members, listens to us on the internet. And we need to be in prayer for Mike. And Mickey and I have known each other since, I guess, about the mid-60s, early to mid-60s. Just been friends all the way through, and right now he needs your prayers. So let's be in prayer for Mickey. And he goes by Mike. I've always known him as Mickey, but I guess as we get older, we change those kind of names, and now he goes by Mike. And I guess that's more grown-up-ish or something, but he'll always be Mickey to me. And so be in prayer for God knows him as Mickey and Mike, so whichever one you feel good in your prayer time to address the Father with, that's fine. And let's see, any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Larry, the classmate that we had been praying for that had cancer,
yep,
went home to be with the Lord this morning.
So this morning?
This morning. So we want to remember his family.
Okay.
Keep them in.
Yep. We are in prayer for his family.
Pretty well right up to the end. I got to talk to him a couple of weeks ago. I called him. And, you know, when you would see him, friends would say he didn't look ill. You know, but, of course, he was. But he just, you know, seemed to, they said he lived 11 months past what they told him.
Okay. All right. We'll be in prayer for his family. He doesn't need our prayers any longer. He's left this wretched old body and has home with the Lord. So we'll be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Finally got in touch with my friend Pat in Houston.
Yes.
Brain cancer. She's been in the hospital again. Her brain is filled with fluid, so they had to go in there and put some drains on her head.
Okay.
Jim,
where does that fluid come from? Does it come from the system, the blood system that would put fluid in the brain?
Yeah, it can come from the blood vessels. The brain makes its own fluid too, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know, but I just was wondering how it would be through blood. Okay. Is there any other way that fluid would be there other than something like that, unless there's a rupture tumor or something that would let it release some kind of fluid, I guess?
Still have to come from blood.
Yeah. Yeah, still have to come from the blood. Okay.
She what?
She
has three boys and a husband.
Okay. And her first name is Pat. Okay. So we need to be in prayer for Pat and her family. And do they see a resolution of all of this? Okay. Okay. So we need to be. All right. We need to be in prayer for Eve. Now, Eve, they just keep dealing with her. One week to the next, but it looks like maybe this Friday. And do you have my phone number?
Oh, I do.
Okay. I want you to call me once they confirm that it's this Friday.
Okay.
And we'll get it on the prayer list and the website and all and do that. And I just would like to know. And so it'd be in prayer for Eve and for the doctors and they won't be in a hurry to get out to the golf course on Friday, and we'll take their time for the operation. So That's very important. And I had my surgery. I didn't mind them doing it on Monday. Just Thursday and Friday. I don't trust doctors on Thursday or Friday. They got their plans. Yeah, could be coming off of the weekend.
It's like the old fashioned when you step into trouble when you built the car, your hope was built on a Tuesday and Wednesday or Thursday. Never on Monday, never on a Friday.
All right. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Please remember these prayer requests. And now let's prepare ourselves for our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you have given to us this information of something that is definitely going to occur in our lives, in our being, and that we're going to be at this event. And what happens at this event is going to be dependent upon our attitude towards your Spirit, your Son, your text. And we can have a confidence about the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't have to be a mystery. It's like our salvation. We don't have to wonder if we're going to be saved. You have given us that assurance. Well, you've also given us an assurance at the judgment seat of Christ. So, Father, we pray that these things will be communicated and be seen. Your Spirit will open our eyes to these truths. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, just to orient where we are in our study, we are at the judgment seat of Christ. We've looked at the definition and description of the judgment seat of Christ. Then Roman numeral 2, the time of the judgment seat of Christ. We saw the rapture, the heavenly worship, and then at the rapture we receive a resurrected body, heavenly worship, and then the judgment seat of Christ. Then we noted the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ is to evaluate and distribute rewards in regard to whether in our life we did something that was good, that Spirit-filled, or waste, worthless, wasted. And it says bad the way some of the translations are, but it means wasted, waste. And that's anything we do in the energy of the flesh. They may be wonderful things, and people may be in heaven because people witnessed in the flesh. Money given in the flesh can be used for wonderful things, but as far as the individual is concerned, it is no profit. And then we looked under Roman numeral 4, loss of rewards, and just very basically, loss of rewards is a refusal to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Dan and had an interesting discussion with this minister, and from days gone by, and Dan used the expression, "Just let the Lord to go to Africa," and this guy, "Well, wait a minute, wait, what do you mean, let of the Lord, let of the Spirit?" And Dan says, "Oh, no, that's all mystical stuff." Said, all you got to do, you got to learn doctrine, and then you got to apply doctrine. And just the Holy Spirit, and it brought back to Dan, and then when we were talking, just how, where we all were, but where we were, in this man, that the flesh can do these things. The flesh can learn doctrine. And the flesh has the ability to assimilate it and process it and then apply it. And that somehow, boy, you take it in. And if you have any problems in life, it's because you don't have enough doctrine. And the more doctrine you have, the less problems in life you have. You apply these doctrines, and boy, you've got to learn this doctrine applies to this event, and then this doctrine applies. But I have been at this place before, but just started. I said, well, what happens when there's two conflicting doctrines for the same type of an event? Then what do you do? And are three or four doctrines that all, and well, you can apply this doctrine, you can apply that doctrine. And Dan, so I didn't get into all of that with him. I just kind of let it go. But it's just amazing how many people, Christians, who, and I'm going to say those who love in the flesh, really, this book and this text, and will devote their life to this text, and just fight faith. I mean, he was just really insistent. No. All that faith stuff in life is mysticism and all that. And they just can't do it. And that's why it's a battle. That's why Paul said, the battle is a battle of faith. You're going to walk by faith or not? And are you, do you have your works? Do you have your list? Do you have something else? So the loss of rewards, very simply stated, and we spent a little time here, is failure to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. It is a failure of humility and an insistence upon arrogance. Arrogance is, I can do something. And then Roman numeral 5, which is where we are now, rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're under point 1, crowns. And so we looked at different names, Stephanus and all. And then we looked at 2 Timothy. So let's open to 2 Timothy for a moment and get ourselves oriented to where we left off last week. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we've taken a look at verse 7. All right, let's turn there. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. All right, fighting. And this is a picture of the spirit life. We've seen it as fighting. We saw it as a race. And so different types of analogies and metaphors for what the Christian life can be. I have fought the good fight. And the good, of course, it means honorable and nobly, and good is that which is befitting before God. I have finished the course. And the course is a reference to a person's life, a mission in life, our purpose of being here. And when he said it's finished, it's the same word Christ used with it is finished. I have kept the faith. To keep means to guard in your life, not to allow to slip away. The faith, and then we saw here, this is where we left off, where how you translate this. Do you, by faith, do you mean that which is believed, doctrine? I have kept the doctrine. Or do you mean the act of walking by faith in the Holy Spirit? So, and how you take it changes the whole momentum of the passage and your whole momentum outlook on life. And so a lot of people take this, or there's a group of people who take this, kept doctrine. But what we're seeing is this is faith that God wants us to engage in moment by moment in our lives. And in the spiritual warfare. And so Paul kept fighting the battle of faith. That is to walk by faith. And that brings us to where we left off last week. I want to talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit and rewards. Fruits of the Holy Spirit and rewards. And you know what is fantastic here is that God has given to each believer the power to engage in the spiritual warfare. He's given to every one of us the power to accomplish these objectives. In the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit given to us by God to accomplish three things here. I have fought the good fight. That's one thing that the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us the power to fight the good fight. Secondly, I have finished the course. That's the patience. Patience. You don't slack off. You don't faint. You don't withdraw. You don't get distracted the momentum of your life into something else. And so many people get distracted in America. And I imagine through history, but just in our society, because there's so much to distract us. There's the making of money. There's the enjoyment of the money that you make. There is the pursuit of things in life. There's romance. There's travel. There's just so many hobbies and so many things that can distract us. And so I finish the course is the patience of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, I have kept the faith. This is the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit that we'll be looking at. And so in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be faithful to your mission, to your goal, to running the course. Now, verse 8. In the future, right, let's be seeing the flow of the text now. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, those are three things now that the Holy Spirit does for us. I fought the good fight, power of the Holy Spirit. I finished the course, patience, the fruit of the Spirit. Kept the faith, that's the faithfulness to the Spirit-filled life. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, now verse 8. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Now, in the future, this is a reference to the judgment seat of Christ. But notice again verse 7, what Paul did to prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. Three verbs, fought, finished, guarded. Three verbs of verse 7 that prepares for the judgment seat of Christ. Fought, finished, guarded. They all demand the fruit of the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes?
Where is guarded? Kept.
I have kept. I have guarded. Now, in our study of the judgment seat of Christ, there is no list of specifics upon which we will be rewarded. And I think that's very important. There's no list upon which we will be rewarded. Some believers would like there to be a list. Giving money. Giving sacrificially. Praying. Praying all night. Witnessing. Witnessing to X number of people. Going to church. Going to church X number of times. Learning doctrine. Being moral. Charismatic experience. Serving Him. There's no list for winning these rewards. Just like there's no list for winning the Congressional Medal of Honor in battle. There isn't. They look at various battles, they look at what various men did at various times and circumstances and said that is meritorious of the Medal of Honor. And it's not because, well, let's see, now did it do this and did it do that and did it do this? No, it's just that is meritorious. So, kill so many of the enemy. There's just no specific things given there. Now, so here we have this idea, we have the three things that are required, fought, finished, guarded. Now, what I want you to do, just very quickly, turn with me to John 12 a moment. Please, let's go back to John chapter 12, just for a moment. This is sort of a basic concept of rewards. If anyone serves me, verse 26. Boy, y'all sure are picky. All right. John 12, 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Okay. Serve Him, follow Him. Now, we have to know how to serve the Lord, not just in what we want it to be. Well, I'm going to serve the Lord my way. No, I'm sorry, you don't get that privilege. It's like in the military. Well, that's what I want to do. No, we're going to tell you what you're going to do. And we're going to tell you where you're going to do it. We're going to tell you when you're going to do it. You're going to do it with a team. So we have to learn how to serve the Lord by knowing Him as our servant. And then you follow Him. Follow Him, what did He do? He walked by the power of the Holy Spirit. We walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you're ready to serve Him. And on this basis, you will be rewarded. Love as He loved, as we're studying on Wednesday night. In the Gospel of John 14, greater works. Love as He loved, pray as He loved, walk as He walked in the power of the Spirit. So this is how we, this is, if there is any kind of a fundamental principle, the John passage, John 12:26 kind of lays it out for us. Now let's go back to our study in Timothy. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. So now he says, I have fought the good fight. That is a reward for fighting, not sitting in the stands. You'd be surprised at the number of believers who do not even enter in the conflict. Now, they may be going to church, serving in the church, maybe learning some doctrine, giving money, singing, even witnessing, but not in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. They're wasting their lives. They're wasting their time. They may be living busy lives, but it's wasted. Busy, but wasted lives. Not in the conflict, not in the battle, not in the good fight. Next verb, the next verb determines rewards. Finished the course. Fought the battle, finished the course. Many believers hang in there for a short while. But the idea here is to finish the course. I've seen so many believers come and go in the conflict. Come and go in the intake of doctrine. Whether or not they ever walked in the Spirit or not, I don't know. And but I've seen some who come in and, boy, they understand, or they claim to understand, walking by faith in the Spirit. Next thing you know, they're gone. And they're distracted by the cosmos, by money, by sex, by pleasure. Just getting busy in life. Nothing sinful or bad in it. Just distracted from living the life we ought to live in Christ. Or discouraged by those are positive things. Then you have the negative things. They're discouraged by losses, by divorce, by suffering, by a lot of things that happen negatively, and they just give up and become angry at God. For whatever reason, they just do not finish the course. All right. The believer has to hang in there in the power and leading of the Spirit, finish the course. And we're going to get tired, going to get bored, going to get discouraged, going to get distracted by people, get distracted by me as the pastor, by each other, going to be distracted by your own self, by circumstances, but you hang in there. You hang in there. One thing I think that describes a lot of Americans today, we just don't hang in there. Don't hang in there in marriage. Don't hang in there at work. Don't hang in there in relationships. Just don't hang in there. We're a quick dump. Now for the crown, verse 8. In the future, verse 8, in the future, judgment seat of Christ, there is laid up for me. Okay. People, this should affect our lives right now. People often spend their entire adult life trying to gain things on earth, house and titles, position, success, hoarding things, all these kind of things, spending their energy, time to do all of this stuff. And all this stuff is going to be lost the moment you die, if not even before. And trying to get in security, having some kind of security in life, and developing security. And what I think is so funny, we spend all this time getting all these things, and now I got to have a security system to protect all these things. I got to have that, and then I got to have a dog, and got to do all of this stuff, and just to protect what I've spent all my time working on. So now I got to work on protecting it. People, you can have something that is not ever going to be taken away from you, and it lasts forever. It lasts forever. Here is something to think about right now in your life, tonight, tomorrow, every day. Here's something that you can store up that cannot be stolen or burned. It's imperishable. And it's yours all eternity. And look what it says, the crown of righteousness. Now, before we study this category of rewards, a crown of righteousness, and please remember, these things you gain in this world, even if they are a blessing given to you by God, or things that you have obtained and through sacrifice and living the Spirit-filled life, it doesn't matter. The things that we have on this earth, people, are going to fade away. And like I said, even if it's a blessing from God, And those are wonderful things. God gives some people some beautiful home or cars or things. And this is all wonderful. But it's all going to be naught when we die. Your kids are going to get it or they're going to sell it. I like to go to estate sales, but I'm always alarmed when I walk through. And, you know, and you just look at things and you go, you know, they probably really like this. Maybe they've died. And you can tell generally if they've died or not, and if they don't tell you. And here it is, $5. And they probably meant something to those people. I've decided that before I die, I'm going to sell everything. And to buy it, you got to listen to the story. I'll have 10 people in at a time, but you got to listen to the story before you get to buy it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, got to listen to the story. I mean, I go in there and I have to laugh because I got some the original LPs of Hank Williams Sr. And I know if I die tomorrow, whoever does that is going to sell it for 50 cents. 50 cents for this great LP! I mean, the original! My goodness! And I just die over that. So I'm going to do what?
Die over that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm going to die thinking about it. So I'm going to have a sale. I'm going to sell it to somebody or give it to somebody who can appreciate it. But those are running out. I don't know if Jim Passmore is going to outlive me or I'm going to outlive him. I give it to him and next week he'll die. So there it'll go. Got to find me some young person that knows who Hank Sr. is. But these are things that we accumulate. No matter if they're very valuable, $10,000 for just a little thing or just something like an LP. It's gone when we die. It's gone. It's just gone. But here we got something that you can store up that's imperishable. Imperishable. So these will not fade away. And like the second we die, those things we have here, they're gone. But these crowns, these rewards, the judgment seat of Christ are for all eternity. That's a long time. That's not like at doing a wedding to love him forever. Because forever may just last a very short time. May just last a year or two. But these things are for all eternity. And why is this important? Because you glorify him for all eternity with them. Now, principle. If you're interested in glorifying Jesus Christ in your life, if you're interested in glorifying Christ in your life on earth, you should also desire to glorify him for all eternity in heaven. And this is how you're able to do that. This is a blessing. The thoughtfulness of God, that since you glorified his Son on earth, you get to glorify him in heaven with these rewards and these crowns. So this is just something that adds a richness to our life. I know some people don't like the study of rewards. And that's a horrible reason to be doing. People, it's a wonderful reason. I can glorify him forever. I want that. I want to glorify him now. I want to glorify him forever. It isn't a matter of having more and having all these rewards like they glorify me. They don't glorify you, people. These rewards do not glorify you. They glorify him. What they're saying is that he was the issue in your life on earth. You glorify him in eternity. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So give it some thought. Think about it. If I glorify Jesus Christ now by serving him in the power of the Spirit, I glorify him for all eternity. It's an awesome thought. If you just let that sink in. Something that will last forever and ever. People, it's not just a matter of getting to heaven. Okay, that's taken care of. You're locked in. You believed in Christ, that's done deal. You can't undo that. He can't undo that. It's done. But now we can do something about that eternal dwelling. Boy, we spend our whole life, we grow up, we go to school for 12 years, and then maybe four more, and then you go four more like Doc did, and then you start building, and then you start getting your house, get everything in order, and then you're too old to enjoy everything, and then you die. But here we're talking about something that you can have forever in glorifying Him. This is just an awesome thought about after death what? What's heaven like? Well, let's talk about what the judgment seat's like. Let's talk about the how you get these rewards that will glorify Him. See? And the problem is, this has to be by faith, because the details of life are so real. I mean, we can see them, we can enjoy them, and we can have them if we sacrifice going to Bible class and maybe not walk in the Spirit and lead to the leading of the Spirit and all these things and get these things, because they're so real. Man, this house is real, this car is real, this vacation's real, and all these things are real, and I've got them. But look at what it cost you. Look what it may have cost you in regard to the judgment seat of Christ and the rewards. What is so ironical is that no believer who ever resolved to live the Spirit-filled life has ever regretted it. You will never regret living the Spirit-filled life. And you will especially not regret it after you die. And death is a reality. Death is something that is going to happen, and it takes us, actually death takes us into reality is a better way of wording that. Death takes us right into reality. And so this is something that is so wonderful that it's going to occur. And you've not been cut short of enjoyment of life. Actually, you've gained when you and I live and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So many believers think that if they resolve their life around living the Holy Spirit, around being led of the Spirit, going to Bible class, that they see no tangible results. And therefore there must be the sacrifice to live the Spirit-filled life. Well, it's not a sacrifice. It's a gain. The quality of what the purpose of my life is about. Here's something that store up, the rewards of judgment seat of Christ, you store up for you in heaven. And it'll be yours for all eternity. Now, before we have the cover of the crown of righteousness, let's know the basis of receiving this reward. Which the Lord, continuing our passage, which the Lord. Okay, let me just stop for a moment. Here's another way in which we need to know Jesus Christ. Here's another way we need to know Him. As the evaluator of your life. No, it's not anybody else at church. It's not your husband, not your wife, not people who like to judge, malign, slander, gossip, spy. You want to know Him as the evaluator of your life. There are so many ways we need to know Jesus Christ. Of course, we know Him as our Savior. We know Him as the Son of God. We know Him as the Shepherd. And I hope you know Him as your friend. That's probably the most important one to me in my relationship with Jesus Christ since my adolescence. I've known Him as my friend. Jesus Christ is going to evaluate our life, so we need to know Him as the one who will evaluate our life. We don't have to be concerned about performing for anyone else. It's just Jesus Christ. Then it's not right here in my notes, but we need to know He's going to evaluate our life, and then we want to know, on what basis is He going to evaluate? Well, we've already kind of covered that time I spend logged in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So what I'm just saying here is, you want to know Jesus Christ as the one who will evaluate your life. And He will do this at the judgment seat of Christ. He will evaluate your relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit whom He sends to us. We need to know Jesus Christ as the one who evaluates your life. He will do this at the judgment seat of Christ, and He will evaluate in reference to your relationship with Him, serve Him, follow Him, through the Holy Spirit. You're serving Him, you're following Him, you're loving Him, you're praying as He prayed, walking as He walked. Principle. And I'm just trying to cover a lot of things that I would give 50 points, but I'm not going to do it. Just giving you highlights of things, and we keep on flowing here. There is no third person evaluating your life. Here is the fairness of God. He does not call in some outside judge. Not angels. Not members of the human race. It's amazing how many believers live to please other people, which, as we have seen, brings about stress, anxiety, and depression. Other people will not be the ones to evaluate your life. Paul even says, no one judges me. I judge no one, and no one judges me. In fact, not even God Himself will judge you. He has turned over all evaluation over to His Son. He has turned over the prerogative of evaluating your life to His Son, because it relates to His Son. At the judgment seat of Christ, you stand only before Him. And people, who knows better? Who knows better? Who knows all the facts? Who can better evaluate more accurately our relationship with Jesus Christ day in and day out of our lives than He Himself? He's not going to listen to gossipers. He's not going to listen to maligners. He's not going to listen to people who will malign and gossip and slander. He's not going to listen to Satan. He's not going to do this. So again, even in evaluating your life, God the Father is completely fair. Even in evaluating our life, God the Father is completely fair. Jesus Christ knows better, more accurately than anyone, your motivations. No one knows these things but the Godhead. When you walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, and when you did not. When you did something in the flesh, when you did it in the Holy Spirit. My goodness, I'll be honest, sometimes I don't even know. I am assuming it's in the power of the Spirit, but I'm sure there are times it's not. I'm sure there are other times when it is in the power of the Spirit, and I'm not even thinking about it. Just maybe give some money to somebody along the way in life, and just, okay, here, there's your need. Good, and I'm going to go get out of my way. I got to get going here. And these types of things. No one is more equipped to judge and to evaluate more accurately than the member of the Godhead. And Jesus Christ will evaluate. And He evaluates by the internal. He judges the internal. See, the world evaluates and judges externally what they can see. God judges internally. Internally. He judges our motivation. He judges the power. If He is good from the overt, that's good enough for the world, but may not be good enough for God. There's a great deal of human good performed by Christians, people, for which there will be no rewards. It'll be wood, hay, and stubble that'll be burned. No rewards for it. If we were to make a list of David's activities, most Christians today would have nothing to do with him. And certainly, he would not be rewarded by God, they would say. Yet God declares that David's a man after his own heart. So, we just have to realize he's going to evaluate, and he's going to evaluate fairly. So Jesus Christ knows the heart of man. He knows our heart. He knows our soul. He knows our intent. Knows our motivation, knows the power by which we're functioning. Who knows better than Jesus Christ and His Spirit whom He sent? How many times you and I walk by faith in His Spirit in a given day, in a given hour, and allowed God to work in your life? Who knows better when you perform some good, whether it was in the power of the Spirit or in the energy of the flesh? Who knows the times you depended totally upon Him? Who knows the suffering you endured for Him? The world looks overtly. God looks in our soul. That's why He's fair, righteous, accurate. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the one doing the evaluating is Jesus Christ Himself. You want to know Him as the one who will evaluate your life. And I want to know if He's going to evaluate my life, is He going to be fair? On what basis is He going to judge? All these kind of things. And we have it right in the text. The one you loved and served throughout your life, or the one you ignored to live a self-centered life. You know Him as your Savior. You know Him as the Son of God. You know Him as Lord. You know Him as your friend. but now we want to know Him as the evaluator of your life. And you can't make any excuses. He was there with you on earth every moment. You can't blame your husband, your wife, the preacher, the deacon, the church, anything. It is to your advantage to know Jesus Christ as your evaluator right now. Every day. To influence every decision you and I make in life. And that's why I'm going through all this teaching on the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Do not be concerned about the judgments by people on earth. Don't develop stress, anxiety, and depression trying to live up to performance before man. You are not, should not, be performing for the approval of others. I'm sorry. So many Christians perform for others for the approval of others. In fact, they receive their self-worth from the approval of others, not from God, but from man. And the more we correctly understand the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not here to perform for man. I'm here to perform in reference to Jesus Christ. So when the world, our husbands, our wives, our friends, people, when they do not see all these things, then they judge that way. And if they see the things done in the flesh, they go, oh, look at there, they're wonderful. So now, what's interesting, when they do not receive, when people who need the performance of the glory from man do not receive the praise of man, the approval of man, SAD sets in. People, there's no SAD when you understand Jesus Christ as evaluator. All He wants me to do is walk by faith. That's all I have to do. So if you do not want SAD in your life, stress, anxiety, depression, stop trying to win the approval of others. And be concerned only with the approval of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful way to end SAD in our lives. Stress, anxiety, and depression is just to know Christ as evaluator and seek to please Him and Him only. And Jesus Christ even said, I thought about looking at it, but He even said, my yoke is light. All you got to do is walk in the power of my Spirit. He is merciful. He is a gracious judge. His load is light. All you have to do is to dare to walk by faith in His Spirit, be led of His Spirit. Faith is the lightest load. It is the lightest load. It is the simplest of performance. But it's not the easiest. It's not the easiest because it goes against our flesh nature. Our flesh nature wants to work. Our flesh nature wants to do. So it is the simplest. It's the lightest. But it's not the easiest. It's why Paul said it's the battle. Because faith is totally opposed to our flesh nature. Totally opposed to it. God the Father has given all judgment over to His Son. So you want to know Jesus Christ as the evaluator of your life. Know on what basis He's going to evaluate Spirit-filled life. Know Him as the one who evaluates your life. Know it now. That's why we're spending this time on this study. And know it in such a way that it influences and makes a difference in your life. Okay, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. All right, so we have three verbs, all dependent on the Holy Spirit. Verse 8. In the future, judgment seat of Christ, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord... Okay, now we're going to learn something about Him. The righteous judge. Now here is a description of the characteristic of the one who will be evaluating your life. Absolute righteousness. Absolute just. Absolute fairness in evaluating your life. It will be impossible for Jesus Christ to be unfair in evaluating our life. He will not listen to your excuses as to why you did not walk by faith alone, but chose rather to do and do, some performance system. He's not going to listen to gossip and slander. He's not going to listen to Satan, who accuses the brethren. He will consider all the facts, to make a perfectly fair evaluation of our life. All your human good will be brought out for consideration and then burned. That's being fair. Hey, wait a minute. What about all the money I gave? Well, okay, let's take a look at it. Look at there. All in the flesh. Big bonfire. What about all the work I did? What about all the studying I did? What about all the performance I did? What about all the sermons I preached? What about all of the deal I did? Okay, let's bring it out. Put it on there. Burns. It's energy of the flesh. All your human good brought out for consideration and then burn. People, there will be no, here's the point now. There will be no human good rewarded in heaven. There will be no human good awards given in heaven. Nothing in the energy of the flesh will be rewarded. Now, I want you to think about this. Why? Because that would be glorifying the flesh for all eternity. That would be glorifying the flesh for all eternity. And guess what's not even in heaven? What's left behind when we leave the earth? This flesh. It's not even going to be there. So why would there be rewarding for it? It won't even be in heaven. There is no rewards for what's done in the flesh, because that would give glory to the flesh. And the flesh isn't even going to be there. Doesn't matter how much you gave, how often you prayed, how much you witnessed, how moral you were, how much doctrine you learned. So many believers spend so much time of their life working for the Lord, giving, witnessing, learning doctrine, applying doctrine to the flesh, the ability of the flesh to learn doctrine and execute doctrine and apply doctrine, all depending on the IQ. You go on that kind of system, people, and it depends on the IQ. Let's face the facts. If you make the Christian life learning doctrine, you're in no other than just any other academia. And all academia is dependent on IQ. Somebody comes in with a much higher IQ, they can learn it faster, apply it, do all these things quickly. They can logically go through things, figure it out, and be ahead of you. Somebody with not so high an IQ, it takes them more to learn. Now, I don't understand that, and I don't understand lapsarianism and superlapsarianism, and I don't understand all these terms and all of this. I've got to work real hard to learn them, and then how do I apply all of these things? It's all works of the flesh. All works of the flesh. And the flesh is not going to be rewarded in eternity. Only what's done for Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be rewarded. The judge is absolute righteousness, and therefore his judgments are absolutely fair. Let's look at verse 8. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which we haven't looked at yet. I just want to finish the verse. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Well, again, there's so much here. If we wanted to spend a lot of time, will award, so that's a certainty of it, future tense, to me, in context, it's Apostle Paul, on that day. That day is the day of the judgment seat of Christ. Now, will award me on that day. Let me give you something here very important. Confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. Confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. Here's something I want you to take home with you and let it grow in your mind. You can have confidence in reference to the judgment seat of Christ. It's amazing. We work hard for things on earth, but we just that confidence of the, and by confidence, the assurance, just don't have it. I'm sure that as the season went on last year, that the New England Patriots, I'm just sure that they knew they were going to win a Super Bowl. They had won every game. They were great. No one was better than them. No one could touch them. And boy, they just knew it and all of that, and they didn't get the prize. Well, people, you don't even have to wait to find out. No surprises here. You can have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. You can have confidence. See, you have confidence of your eternal life, don't you? You have confidence that you're saved forever, and you can't lose that. I hope every one of you here and that are listening, I hope you have the confidence of your eternal life salvation. You know you're saved forever. You can have confidence of restoration. If I trust His Spirit, I'm filled with the Spirit, restored from the power of sin. Well, people, let me tell you the third one. You can have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. You can have the assurance of the judgment seat of Christ. If you fight the good fight of faith, if you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit and do things in the power of the Spirit, you can be confident at the judgment seat of Christ, as Paul is. People, this isn't arrogance. Will award to me on that day. Well, Paul, that's pretty presumptuous of you. No, it isn't. Not at all. Not at all. And you can have this confidence assurance at the judgment seat of Christ, knowing what is going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ when you stand before Jesus Christ. It won't be, I hope so. Well, are you saved? Will you be in heaven for all eternity? Well, I hope so. Well, let me tell you about the doctrine of eternal security. Well, are you going to get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, I hope so. No, you don't even have to say that. I'm confident. This is not arrogance on the part of Paul. This is confidence. Now, what's it confidence of? It's confidence based, here it is now, it's confidence based on the knowledge of the fairness of Jesus Christ as a righteous judge. It's confidence and assurance based on the fairness of Jesus Christ as a righteous judge. And people, what a wonderful way to live your life. Not only the assurance of eternal life, but a confidence and assurance of the judgment seat of Christ. See, faith believes the Word of God. Hope is the assurance of its certainty. And patience waits and stands firm. So what I'm saying is, if we know the truth, if we know we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we know who the judge is, we know on what basis He's going to judge, and we know that we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, people, we have that confidence. Now, how much reward and all of that? No, don't know. But you can have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ, people. This to me is just really something. People, well, what's heaven like and what's this like? Well, let me tell you, it's going to happen. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And He's going to evaluate your life. What kind of confidence? Well, I hope I'm not totally embarrassed here. No, you don't even have to say that. I'm confident. Confident. That there's going to be some rewards laid up for me. I don't know how many, and it's not important to me. But I know. And how do I know this? Because of me and because of arrogance? No. I know the judge. I know the basis of the judgment. And I know my life. I know that daily I walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. So in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Will award. Bestowing of the decorations, the honors, for life lived in the filling of the Spirit, awarded for glorifying your Savior. To me. Context, Paul. Application to every believer. On that day, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Paul says something that is so encouraging to every one of us. It's as encouraging to you. It's encouraging to every believer in the church age. What Paul says now means that there is no excuse for any one of us not receiving crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. Here it is. Look what he says. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Okay, this includes every one of us. I know I'm going to receive Him, Paul is saying, but not just me. Not just me. But to everyone who have the love for His appearing. And I don't want to just get into that, so we'll start with the loving His appearance next Tuesday night and find out what that means. What does it mean, who have loved His appearing? So we will start here. But it's a powerful, wonderful thing for all of us in our lives. Okay, let's close. Any questions on the night at the judgment seat of Christ? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, and how grateful we are for the Scriptures. How grateful we are, Father, that You have revealed these things to us. And You've revealed them to us to give us encouragement in our life, confidence at the judgment seat of Christ, encouragement in our life, not living for people, not performing for people, but serving our Savior, following Him. Father, we thank You and we praise You that You've given this information to us for our enlightenment, our peace in our soul, a calmness, not a concern, not a worry about it, but a relaxedness about it. To think that, wow, I can be rewarded for loving Him. That's astounding. Father, we praise You. In Christ's name, amen.